Packers have played their four quarters. Now it's time for the fifth quarter. Here are Matt and Rob with The Athletic's Matt Schneidman.
Packers falling short in Minnesota yesterday, losing to the Vikings 27-25. We bring in The Athletic's Matt Schneidman. Good morning, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Now, just as they did in the first meeting, the Packers dig themselves a hole. They have a hell of a comeback that falls just short. Why is this team starting slow?
Well, that is kind of a common theme here in these big games against NFC teams. In week four, against the Lions in week nine, against the Lions in week 14. Yesterday, it was in part due to the fact that Brian Flores and the Minnesota Vikings played more man coverage than Matt LaFleur and the Packers anticipated. And Matt LaFleur said that they didn't have, you know, a proper set of plays per se to really adjust to and change to, and they just struggled to make those in-game adjustments. So credit to the Vikings for going off tendency and catching the Packers by surprise. But it's a whole bunch of things. You look at some of the small miscues the Packers made in the first half, and you can agree with those calls or not. Matt LaFleur certainly didn't. Dontayvion Wicks lining up the wrong way, getting an illegal formation to negate a third down conversion. You had the Jordan Love and Jaden Reed misconnection on fourth down. You had Edgerrin Cooper being offside, if you want to call it that, on the field goal to take away 3 points. Great teams don't make all those errors in big games.
Now, how do you see the Packers getting over this hump? With the playoffs around the corner, you're going to be playing the best teams in the NFC. What adjustments do they make to actually beat these guys next time?
I'm not sure if I do see them getting over the hump. They've had five games now where it's somewhat of the same story. They're 0-5 against the teams better than them. We've heard all season that they need to, you know, cut down on the self-inflicted errors and make better plays and get better execution. I mean, Matt LaFleur said last night, not word for word, but a different version of the same quote he said on December 5th after that Lions game. He basically said, word for word, we're going to have to earn the right to go back, to come back here and play these guys again. It's the same story, a hope that they get another chance against the team because they're so close. Sooner or later, your next chance is going to be your last, and there's going to be no more hope for another shot. Because these self-inflicted wounds, these slow starts, this too little, too late at the end, with the final scores looking closer than maybe the game actually was, it's going to mean nothing. It's going to mean your season's over. So they have to tighten up, come out quicker, be better prepared. It's a little bit of everything.
This is the fifth quarter with The Athletic's Matt Schneidman. You mentioned those self-inflicted wounds. Josh Jacobs has been so good for this offense, having just a fantastic year. But that fumble, man, that was big yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. They were moving the ball pretty well on that opening drive. And then for him to fumble at the Vikings 41 after he earned a first down on second and four, it's just backbreaking. He took the blame for it after the game. He said he puts it on himself to bring the guys out with good energy, and that one's on him, and obviously it is. It's just things like that great teams and teams truly contending for a Super Bowl don't do. And maybe they can get away with one of those, but then to compound that with the fourth down drop, with, you know, the penalties, with the 12 men in the huddle in the second half, that's just a series of things that teams truly contending for a title simply do not do.
Injuries, still an issue. What's up with Jair Alexander? It looks like he's progressing. It looks like he's going to advance and then all of a sudden not active for another game this year.
Yeah, I mean, this week it wasn't a week of full practices, so we knew this was coming. Last week, before the Saints game, I believe it was three full practices, and then he didn't play. So that was maybe a little more confusing. At this point, I'm not sure we're going to see him again this season. Nothing would surprise me with him. It's clear the knee isn't responding the correct way. It's not some minor injury. It's a torn PCL that he suffered in week 8. He clearly came back too early from it in week 11, re-aggravated it. similar deal last season. They never put him on IR. I believe he missed 6 games with that shoulder injury. Now, if he's practicing in full, and obviously this week he went from limited to a DNP, been kind of all over the place, the possibility, and I asked Matt LaFleur about this, and he did not answer on Friday, do the Packers think Jair can play, and Jair doesn't think he can play, and maybe isn't pushing through it as much as they'd like? And LaFleur just said, oh, well, the injury report will be out at 3. So who knows? Maybe something will come out after the season, but with or without Jair, I don't trust this secondary to stop the passing offenses that they'll have to beat in the playoffs.
With or without him? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What is your gut feeling on this? Do you think it's Jair doesn't think he can push through, or it's both, or just the coaches?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate on something I don't have concrete information on, especially something of this magnitude. I just think they need him back, obviously. And is it something where you get his feet warm against the Bears before you go into the playoffs? I mean, you saw last season he misses 6 games. He comes back for the final game of the regular season, gets his feet wet a little bit, and then has a big-time interception against the Cowboys in the playoffs. So it's possible for him to make an impact. But is he going to be at that all-pro level we know he can be at when healthy for a game, for a winner-go-home game? I just don't know.
This is the fifth quarter with the Athletics, Matt Schneidman. Speaking of that defense, again, Packers, some self-inflicted wounds. They dig themselves a hole, but then they make the comeback. Defense is a big part of that. You have Valentine's interception, critical 3-and-out fourth quarter stops, but just not able to get that big stop when they absolutely needed it at the end.
Yeah, they started fine, I thought, and then it kind of unraveled from there. The key, though, and it's something you look at in the Seahawks game and the Saints game, you say, wow, they really shut down the Seahawks and the Saints on the back end. Well, that's also because their pass rush was really good, and that's why you hear guys talk all the time about the pass rush and the coverage on the back end working in tandem. Guys on the back end don't have to cover for as long, which makes their jobs easier if the pass rush gets home. Pass rush was abysmal yesterday. Abysmal. And it's no coincidence that, you know, the last two kind of truly respectable teams they played, the Lions and the Vikings, the pass rush was nowhere to be found. And that, in part, is why quarterbacks like Jared Goff and Sam Darnold picked them apart. Sure, it's nice that the pass rush shows up against the Seahawks and Saints offensive lines, but you ain't going to play those teams in the playoffs. You're starting to feel good about this pass rush the last 2 weeks, but you thought in the back of your head, all right, let's see it against a good team. And we just saw it against a good team. They had nothing. I think they had 1 sack. They got some pressure, but pressure only matters so much if quarterback can make plays under pressure, and Sam Darnold can. So I thought the pass rush was mostly to blame yesterday. Javon Bullard, his first game back, did not look like he had a good game. Guys just running wide open, and you got to give credit to the Vikings. They're a great team. They have arguably the best 1-2 punch out receiver in the NFC, a really good quarterback who's maybe the best story in the NFL this season. But another reason why I say you trust this Packers team to get pressure and stop guys through the air against the playoff team, that's why the offense has to probably score 30-plus or more to win a game in the postseason.
So we're close to the playoffs. Do you see Minnesota as being the team to beat in the NFC, or is that the Lions? Is it the Eagles?
I'll go Minnesota right now. Obviously, we'll get a concrete answer because those two teams play next week, but Detroit, if full strength, but they obviously have a litany of injuries on defense. They can still be that team. They can overcome those injuries and just outscore you, but I think I'm going to go Minnesota right now.
And you got the Packers not being able to finish any higher than the 6th seed. I know they're sitting at the 7 right now, which would mean you got to go to Philadelphia in the wild card round in the playoffs, and that will not be easy if it holds this way.
Most likely, yeah. So the Eagles aren't locked into the 2 seed yet. Based on, you know, if the Lions beat the 49ers tonight, then the Eagles are locked into the 2, because then the 1 seed will finish 15-2, and the Eagles can't finish any worse than 2. So right now it looks like a trip to Philly. The only way the Packers can get the 6th seed is if they beat the Bears and the Commanders lose to the Cowboys next week. If the Commanders win, or if both the Commanders and Packers lose, then the Packers drop to the 7. And my brother lives in Philly, so I wouldn't mind going to Philly in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not so bad. That's not so bad.
Little family reunion?
Yeah.
Who do the Packers want to see in the playoffs first round?
I would imagine they'd like to. I mean, listen, gun to your head, they probably want to see the Rams or the Buccaneers or the Falcons. I know they're still alive, but any team can beat anyone in the playoffs. The Eagles or Lions or Vikings are obviously a less favorable matchup. So gun to your head, I think you want to see the South or the West winner, but I don't think the Packers are really in any position to be like, oh, I hope we see that team. They got to fix their own stuff first.
You see any possibility of a Bears upset this weekend?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
I've covered this team since 2019. I have never seen a Bears win over the Packers with my own eyes. They're 11-0. Everyone says, you know, Matt LaFleur is 11-0 against the Bears. The Packers are 11-0 with Matt Schneidman covering the team. That's the real story here.
Yeah.
So, no, the Bears will not beat the Packers. The Packers could start Malik Willis, and the Bears would still not win.
All right, The Athletic's Matt Schneidman, thank you for joining us this morning on the Fifth Quarter. We'll talk to you after the Bears game.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. The Fifth Quarter brought to you by Robinson Heating and Cooling. Get your furnace ready for winter with a tune-up from Robinson Heating and Cooling. Call them today to stay warm all season long. Robinson Heating and Cooling, your comfort, their commitment.